Yucatan, Mexico, the Chichen Itza Mayan archaeological site, 2 weeks before arrival day. Billy Cranston was enjoying his school getaway to this great ancient part of the civilized world. He has mostly kept to himself, save for his two closest friends, Tamara and Dan. But today, while they had decided to go get something to eat at one of the local tourist areas, he had decided to explore one of the lesser ruins a bit more. He was more or less alone as he wandered into a mostly open ruin and began taking photos. He had so badly wanted to go on this trip, needed this trip. He wasn't sure why, but as he explored, he began to feel something strange, like his body and mind were drawn somewhere, towards something. He followed it, almost on instinct, letting his body be piloted to a patch of earth. He knelt down and started digging with his hands. For what, he didn't know until he found it. About 30 centimeters below the surface, he found a gold-pressed coin with the carved picture of the dinosaur Triceratops.
What in the world? How did this get here?
Billy? Billy Cranston, what are you doing?
He slipped the coin into his jeans back pocket as he stood to face the red-faced teacher.
Sorry, sir. I was just a little...
You were just digging up a treasured archaeological site with your hands. What? Did you think you'd find something hundreds of great minds and archaeologists haven't in the last 300 years?
Well, I...
Look at your hands. They're filthy. Your parents will hear about this. I expect better from you, Billy. Come on!
Billy never did tell anyone about that coin. Not until the day it changed his life. New York City. It has been 2 months since Arrival Day. The attacks from the alien invaders on the moon had not ceased since their defeat around the world by the Zords. In fact, their volume and consistency had increased, with attacks from either a squadron of Golem soldiers or a gigantic alien monstrosity becoming an almost twice-weekly occurrence. Each time, Bandora's creatures were easily defeated by the superpowered teams known as the Power Rangers. Each time, however, the attack resulted in casualties, property damage, destruction. Cracks in the earth were growing, but the Rangers continued the fight as they were now in the Big Apple. Inside the mighty Megazord, they now call forth the huge construct's silver ornate sword and bring it down into the monster, killing it with one blow and watching with pride as it explodes like all the others.
Gotcha!
I wonder why they blow up.
Self-destruct, maybe? To stop us learning about how they are made?
That makes sense.
Uh-oh, we got company.
Zack points out of the cockpit windows to military aircraft and helicopters, now feeling safe enough to advance on their position. This was not new. The Rangers have been surrounded several times by the world's military forces at almost every encounter. The US Army had even fired tank shots at the Zords during one battle, but this time would end the same as all the others.
Alpha, one Megazord to teleport to safety, please.
Transporting to upper atmosphere, Jason.
We know the drill. Get ready for separation and automatic return courses, people.
One tropical Arctic course plotted.
So, I'll see you at my place at 8?
You're sure your parents are okay with it?
My parents are 8,000 miles away, and I'm home alone for the weekend. They want me to stay grounded at home. I'll stay home. But they don't need to know I had a little small gathering or two, you know.
A party?
Yeah. So, everyone coming?
You bet, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Wouldn't miss it.
Transporting now!
Billy?
I don't know, guys. I really should work on studying for my English Lit test on Monday. I haven't had much time for all the after-school club stuff.
Oh, come on, Billy, don't be lame. I never get to hang out with anyone anymore because of this stuff. Only reason I can save the world is the after-school detention excuse I made up. You're welcome, by the way.
I don't know.
Billy, come on. You can study all weekend. Let's do something together that's not life or death for once.
Come on, it'll be fun. You know you want to.
Altitude and position confirmed. separating Megazord in 10 seconds.
Okay, then. For a bit. And only because we can teleport home.
Yeah. See you then, guys. Returning to the pterodactyl now.
See you then.
Later.
In a shimmer of blue light, Billy appears in a concealed and well-forested area of the neighborhood. He straightens himself, pulling down his white shirt and fixing his blue jacket before heading out of the bush and onto the street. It takes him a few minutes, but eventually he finds the number he has been given and heads up the driveway to the door, ringing the bell.
I got it.
The door opens and Billy now finds himself face to face with a stranger that looked to be around his age.
Hello. Is this Kimberly's house?
Yeah. You didn't need to ring. Come in. She's just fixing the punch.
Thanks. Sorry, who are you?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm Tommy. I'm a friend of Kim's from school. You're another one from the summer camp she went to out of town.
Yes.
Yes, he is. Sorry, Billy, being a good host. Come on in. Make yourself at home. Everyone else is in the front lounge.
Sure. This place is really nice, Kimberly.
Thanks.
The three now make their way into the lounge, joining the gathering of the other rangers.
Hey, blue guy.
Hey, Billy.
Billy.
Trini runs up and hugs him, handing him a drink.
What's this?
It's punch. Rum and some fruit juice, I think.
I'm not old enough to drink.
Hey, lighten up. We won't tell nobody. Just a couple.
If you don't like it, I can get you a soda.
No, it's fine.
Billy joined the group, doing his best to mingle. Though it didn't help that having an outsider here meant that they couldn't talk about their most common experiences. Billy also couldn't help but notice Jason was a little on edge. Something was bothering him. It wasn't long before he followed a few harsh looks towards Kimberly's school friend, Tommy. When Jason went to the backyard for air, Billy watched as Zack followed and decided to go too. He shut the sliding glass door and stepped out into the cool California night air, onto the rather nice-looking outdoor pool area.
Wow, this is nice. Kim's family really must be doing well.
Zack and Jason give him a smile before continuing the conversation he can now hear.
Seriously, I know you well enough to know when there's a bug up your ass, Jason. What is it?
Nothing, I'm fine. Just thinking about the battle today is all.
It's Tommy, isn't it? You don't like him.
No, I don't even know the dude.
Yeah, but he seems to be real friendly with Kim. And he's also the only non-ranger she invited to this thing. You and Kim are like, a thing?
No, shut up, will ya?
Oh, no, you aren't. But you wanna be. I see.
What? That's the biggest load of...
Dude, it's obvious.
It really is. I'm not really a people person, and I noticed.
See? It's as obvious as Billy and Trini.
What? No, it's not like that. You're the one she gave that present for your mom to.
That's because she's nice. She really likes you.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, and me and Kim are not a thing. I don't give two putties if her and Tommy are.
They aren't. This is the first time they hung out of school.
Really? A house party with just him and us. That's forward.
Billy, you're not helping.
Sorry.
Jason. We all know, man. Go for it.
I don't know. I think Tommy may have beat me to it.
Not yet. But he will if you don't move fast. She has basically been fighting a war with you. Only 5 of us in the world know what it's like to do what we do. Can do what we do. He's just some random school jock with a man bun.
He has a point.
What's going on out here? Don't be lame. Come and join in. Don't leave me alone with the lovebirds.
See?
Jason's just upset about Tommy being here.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Oh, because he likes Kim? Yeah, everyone knows that. I think even Zordon knows that.
No, I don't!
Look, dude, if you want to keep denying it, then be my guest. But you're gonna miss your shot.
Exactly what I said.
Go for it. I totally ship you guys.
Okay, fine. I'll talk to her. See what happens.
Good. Finally. Now let's go inside before I throw your ass in that pool.
Oh, please do.
The group now begins to walk back towards the house.
Seriously, Jace, she likes you too. Why else would you stay in touch for so long after your vacation?
All right. I said I'd talk to her, okay?
Good. Now let's... Oh.
The group stops at the see-through glass doors, looking in with various looks of shock as inside Kimberly is sat on top of Tommy, her head leant down to his, kissing him. Jason's heart falls to his knees.
Oh. Wow.
Well, that was fast. Jason, I...
Want me to stomp on his car with the Mastodon? I'll do it.
No. Let's just forget this conversation ever happened, all right?
Sure.
If that's what you want, man.
It was then that the two came up for air and Kimberly turned, noticing the others staring. She and Tommy break into laughter as she waves them inside.
Well, here goes.
A few minutes later, Kimberly and Trini head to the kitchen for some more punch.
Ah, this is nice. I feel like a normal kid again.
Yeah, for sure. So, you and Tommy, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it just happened. I knew he was into me a bit, and I totally liked him. But we never had a chance to really do anything since I've been grounded for life.
So it's just a crush. Because I feel like it's more than a crush. If you invited him to this thing with us and then that happened, the first time we leave you two alone.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I like him is all I know.
For his hair and muscles? Or for him?
Both?
So, just seeing how it goes then, huh? What about Jason?
What about him?
Kim, don't play the dumb valley girl. You know he likes you.
Yeah. Well, I guess I just... I don't know. I see Tommy at school week and things happen, you know?
But you can never tell him about our stuff. You know that, right?
Yeah, totally. Zordon told us that.
Then maybe lay off the punch, huh? Before you accidentally morph for something.
Hey guys, come check this out. The superheroes are on TV again.
Oh shit!
The two young women speed into the other room, and to the gathering of the males at the party as they watch the television showing the highlights of the New York battle.
No one knows where they came from or who they are, but around the world debate rages. Are these colorful superhero types fighting monsters in and out of huge dinosaur machines working for a government? Are they even human, or another occupying alien force simply battling the first for control of our world? And if not, are they doing as much harm as good? Are their battles with the invaders causing even more damage?
The group look on in silence as the images flash, showing footage of them fighting from a daring helicopter shot, then on phone cameras from the ground, and finally, the same again for their Zords and Megazord.
Who are these bright-colored warriors? Friends or foes?
Friends or foes? They've saved us all how many times now? If Superman showed up tomorrow and beat the aliens' ass, he'd be shot down.
Aliens? They can't be aliens. Look at them.
Why not?
Well, I...
Because look at that black dude's crotch. You can totally see his junk. That's a man, all right.
Trini slaps her hand to her face behind him.
Who says the aliens don't? They have two arms and legs, some of them.
Yeah, and blue monkey faces.
Monkey? I always thought that one looked more like a lion.
Jason now stands up without saying a word and heads to the kitchen alone. Billy again follows.
Which one this time? The news or him?
We need to get ahead of this. We need to talk to someone, put a statement out or something.
I don't think we can get a press secretary.
No, do it like Superman. Talk to the papers or a podcast or something.
Who? Who can we trust?
Trust for what?
The two look up startled as Tommy walks into the room.
To save us, I mean.
These rainbow warrior guys, obviously.
Jason just nods slightly before leaving the room.
Be back in a sec.
Tommy now turns to Billy as Jason heads up the stairs.
I don't think he likes me too much.
No, he just needed a bathroom. You want another drink, Tommy?
Yeah, thanks, man.
Meanwhile, inside the Imperial Star Vessel Repulsor, still stationed on Earth's moon, a poor captured soul is being tested, like many before him.
Please, please let me go! I'll do anything!
Rita Bandora looks on from her makeshift throne in the ship's main banquet hall, which has been converted into a sort of throne room. The throne made of various metals and chairs throughout the ship. The man is human, standing in terror before a small platform table on which the sixth power coin is placed. He is dressed in military attire and is obviously a well-trained human specimen, picked as one of the world's greatest warriors. But now he fails, like all the others. The coin does not so much as shine.
Oh, enough. Dispose of him like the others.
What? No! No! No, please!
The cries continue as the man is dragged from the hall, silence then suddenly coming with the sound of a laser blast.
In the Emperor's name, I thought he would be the one.
That's the 12th human from this list of so-called Great Earth Warriors we have taken. This isn't working.
No, it will. The scrolls spoke of the coins choosing their hosts. We just need to find the chosen one.
And how do we do that? If what you say is true, then the thing will choose someone righteous, perhaps even patriotic. Sounds like you're trying to recruit a new ally for the enemy.
Maybe. But without a way to activate the coin, the chosen subject will be ours. Perhaps if we knew the type of human the other coins choose.
I will remind you, we cannot track them. We have no way to...
Send an army of golems down as soon as Finster can make them. Have one of your men go, but stay back, and record the entire fight, audio enhancers and all. I want to know my enemy.
As you say, Commander.
Day breaks on Angel Grove, California. The morning light touching the beautiful home of the Hart family. Despite their plans to return home, most had stayed the night. All but Jason. In the lounge, the night's events are evident from the state of disarray the room is in. On the white leather sofa, Kimberly is asleep in Tommy's arms, as he lay sleeping behind her, cradling her. Billy and Zack are sleeping in armchairs, and Trini in a sleeping bag on the room floor. The group wakes in a varied order and in varied states of grogginess as their phones ring and vibrate with the ringtone they had all designed and shared. The ringtone that means Zordon is contacting them.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. Twice in 2 days? This lady needs a hobby.
What? What's that? What's up?
Kimberly doesn't answer him, hanging up her phone and letting Zack take it, the others doing the same.
You all have the same ringtone? Like a group chat?
Yeah, group chat call thing. Like Skype, you know?
Kimberly speaks as she sits up, breaking from his arms.
Oh, okay. Who's ringing it?
He checks his watch.
7 a.m.
I think it's Jason. Likely just making sure we all got home or crashed somewhere safe.
Dude needs to learn to lie in on a Saturday.
I know, right?
She lies. It wasn't long before Zack returned through the black sliding door and walks with a pace towards the others.
We, gotta go.
Yep.
We have a thing we promised we'd do with Jason today.
At 7 a.m.?
It's a long drive.
Well, what is it? Can I come?
No, Tommy. You stay here and sleep some more. It's a ticket event thing, and it's sold out. A theme park.
Theme park?
Yeah.
They sold out?
Yeah.
Okay. You sure you're okay with me staying here with you gone?
Yeah, I trust you. Besides, I know where you live. Just lock up when you go, yeah?
Sure. All right, then.
The teens are now in various stages of dressing and putting their footwear on.
You sure you don't want coffee or anything first?
No, we're late. We'll get something on the way. See ya.
Bye, Tommy.
Nice to meet you.
Laters.
Bye then. Jeez.
The group soon head to the command center and get the usual rundown, meeting with Jason. They then set their teleporters for Cameron, North Carolina, and prepare for combat, after an espresso or two.
Okay, ready? Right! A
It's Morphin time!
Mastodon!
Pterodactyl!
Triceratops!
Saber-tooth tiger!
Tyrannosaurus!
Are my sensors malfunctioning? Or did Jason seem distracted, Zordon?
No, I noticed it too. Perhaps this is to do with their social occasion. But it is a problem for another time, as long as he can handle the situation.
Well, it is Putty's.
Agreed, but we can never take Rita lightly. The day we do is the day we fail.
The Rangers engage the creatures, handling them easily thanks to their growing experience with the things. On one side of the battle, many people ignore the police officers' yells to stay back behind their erected roadblocks and take out camera phones, videoing and capturing the superheroes in action. Jason sees this and decides to ignore it as a golem charges for him and is taken down with a hard kick, followed up with having its head removed with his power sword. He then swings and decapitates another as it comes for him. Then decides to do away with the sword and just go hand to hand. He needs to work off some steam. He goes to town, nailing one putty after another with hard blows. Kimberly stops to watch in concern as he takes one down with a punch and continues beating on it hard with both fists, beating the creature back into clay.
Whoa, Jace, chill out!
Jason doesn't say a word as he straightens, calling for their blaster pistol and raises it. He fires a laser blast, destroying a golem soldier right behind Kim as it came for her.
I think you better watch your own business there, Kimberly.
He then turns back to the remaining forces and continues the fight.
All right! Jeez, get over it already.
It wasn't long before the last of the forces fell to the Rangers, the warriors standing tall once again as the crowd ahead cheered. As has happened many times before, reporters then begin yelling questions. But this time, instead of teleporting away, Jason turns his head towards two TV news reporters and begins walking over to them.
Wait a minute, Jace!
He stops himself short of saying his name now that the noise of the battle has ceased. The others just group together and watch as their leader walks right up to the cameras and speaks.
People have been asking a lot of questions about us. You deserve answers. First of all, we're human, but we prefer to keep our identity to ourselves, to keep the people we love safe.
Do you work for the US government?
No.
Do you work for any government?
No. We work for a force that wants to stop Bandora's invasion of Earth and keep us all free and safe.
Bandora?
Rita Bandora. That's the name of the commander of the alien forces.
And who are you?
We are the Power Rangers. And we are here to help.
You should have talked to me before you did that.
We had to! The people needed to know that they could trust us.
It's why we took the name, so people could call us something.
Indeed. But the more the people hear your voices, the more they can use to find out who you are. The same goes for Bandora.
Yeah, I guess.
So we should, like, do a Batman voice?
I do not understand that.
He means should we find a way to disguise our voices?
That is possible. The suits should be able to—
No, we do that and no one will trust us. They need to hear we are American. They can't see our faces or anything else. We'll be fine. But if you want, I won't talk again without asking you.
That is all I ask.
Okay.
One more thing. Alpha may be a sentimental robot, but that does not mean he is your personal transportation service. The teleporters are to be used for ranger business or emergencies only from now on. Is that understood?
Fine.
Oh man, I hate the bus.
That is all, Rangers. Well done, as always. And may the power protect you.
The group begins to disperse towards the transportation room.
Jason, please remain a moment.
Jason and Kimberly's eyes met for a moment before she turns away and follows after the others. Jason shakes his head and grumbles, but remains.
What's up?
Is something bothering you?
No.
You are sure? Did something happen yesterday at your gathering?
No. Just tired is all.
You can talk to me, Jason.
Honestly, I'm fine. Is there anything else?
No.
Great. Speak soon. Later, Alpha.
Jason heads up the gangway and out of the main chamber.
Farewell, Jason. I had better go make sure they remember how to use it. We don't want them to be atomized.
Agreed.
Rita was now sat in her private chambers, watching the footage they had captured, along with that from the Earth's news sources, over and over again.
Computer, enhance audio 300%. Cut out background noise. Play.
I think you better watch your own business there, Kimberly. Business there, Kimberly. Kimberly.
Chill out.
Kimberly. Computer, search the Earth database. Search for an accent match on the Pink Warrior.
Working. Dialect identified. California State, United States of America.
She sounds young. They all do. Computer, hack into Earth's private communications networks. Show matches for the name Kimberly in California, United States of America.
Rita watches as hundreds and hundreds of names are listed.
Show me the image we captured of the pink teleportation signal.
The image on the screen is that of a pink flash of light in the clouds. The computer works, until finally showing South California as a grid over the image.
Close to home. So much for not being able to track them. Computer, what is the name of the nearest human collective?
Angel Grove, California.
Show names of young females below 30 human years of age living in Angel Grove, California.
The names narrow to only a few now.
Show records and all online material for each of the humans listed.
It takes hours, but eventually one video from an online hub called YouTube catches her eye. It is of some older juveniles at a school videoing one of the girls and asking her unwanted questions.
I heard you went cave diving? Is that they call what you do with Tommy Oliver these days?
Yeah, give us the dirt. We got subscribers to give content to.
And you are the talk of Angel Grove High.
Get out of my face, Bulk.
Where'd you go?
Cave diving. Really? There was something I wanted to find.
Yeah, Tommy's...
Finish that sentence and I'll smash that camera.
Okay.
Kimberly now walks away on the video as Bulk turns it back on himself.
There you have it, folks. Kimberly still insists she went missing on arrival day to see some caves. A coincidence? A fling with a fellow student? You be the judge. This is BNS signing out. Remember to hit that subscribe button.
Rita now stops the video and sits back in her chair in deep thought.
Went missing on arrival day, did she?
Finish that sentence and I'll smash that camera. Whoa, Jace, chill out.
100% match.
She sits forward again, glaring into the screen at the image of Kimberly.
So, juveniles, that's it. Hello, Kimberly. Or should I say, Pink Warrior?
Monday morning, Angel Grove High. Kimberly walks the halls, heading outside for lunch and hoping to avoid Bulk and Skull. She is not in the mood to be harassed today. But she doesn't find them. But who she does walk into by the benches is Tommy.
Hey.
Hi.
So, that happened. You want to talk about it?
About what?
I don't know. The kiss? The part where you ditched me to go hang out with Jason with the worst lie ever?
Look, Tommy, I...
Are you and he... like...
No! Look, it was a private thing between us friends. Nothing weird at all, okay? No big secret.
You swear?
I swear. No big secret.
Okay.
Now, let's go eat and chat, huh?
As the young couple walk away, they have no idea that on the hill above them, Rita Bandora is stood watching intently, disguised in the attire of a smartly dressed schoolteacher.
Power Rangers? What a cool name. You think they do t-shirts?
Rita listens to the passerby, but returns her attention to Tommy and Kimberly. She then takes out the 6th power coin from her pocket and holds it out in the palm of her hand. It is glowing, glimmering a faint but distinct green light.
Green. A green warrior. A green ranger.
She looks up again and glares at Tommy as he seems to look back at her.
Hello, Green Ranger.
Episode 4, The Search. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Starring Nick Erickson as Jason, Catherine Black as Kimberly, Connor Terrell as Billy and Bulk, Kenneth Tolles Jr. as Zach, Chloe Liao as Trini, Joey Solis as Tommy, Jeannie McGinnis as Rita, Garrett Scott as Alpha 5, Jason Rivers as Goldar and Skull. Also with Keith Seymour as Zordon, the news reporter, and Billy's teacher. Steve Porter as the news anchor. Eduardo Ruiz as the captured man. Original score by Declan Gilgallon. Go-Go Power Rangers original by Ron Wasserman, performed by Rex and Lauren Anderson. Written, edited and directed by Carl Dutton. Based off the original show by Haim Saban and the comics by Ryan Parrott and Kyle Higgins. Sound effects from freesounds.org and the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Folly. Power Rangers is copyright of the Hasbro Company. This is a fan non-profit production. No infringement